You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
He says, listen, we never deny the reality of people's circumstances, but we refuse to limit God to what we know.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me what he knew. I prayed with that understanding. But what we said is, okay, God, we're lifting Bill up to you. And Lord, you do what medicine and doctors can't do. Just touch Bill, and we curse this, you know, this virus at the roots. Well, you know, he was a little beat down. I didn't know it, but he came to a Catholic chapel. And he was crying. And my friend, Deacon Jack Raish, who was also a spirit-filled Holy Ghost guy in the Catholic Church, St. A's, he said, what's the matter, son? He says, well, I'm dying, you know. You know, the cares of this life can choke God out. And even though I prayed, Jack said, what's the matter? He said, well, I got full-blown, just give that to Jesus, he said. And we're going to have communion just a little bit. Just trust God. So 3 weeks later, he comes up to me in the hallway, and I go, oh, gosh, here he goes again, you know, kind of a sad sack. He goes, chap, look at this. This is my lab work back from medical. And I read it. It says, we can find no medical abnormality in your blood whatsoever. I'm going like, what? And I go, no medical. Are you telling me? He says, chap, I don't have the virus. I'm free. And I go, whoa. So I tell the priest who did the service.
Did you start crying or anything?
Well, I'll tell you, I was close to, I told our sheriff, because our sheriff has a medical background. He goes, chap, that's amazing.
So what happens
next? So 13 years later, I'm in a spiritual dorm. We have one for women.
Yeah.
And in that dorm, it's called the get-along dorm. You really got to, you know, have
harmony. The get-along dorm.
Yeah. In order for God to move, you can't have strife in the camp. You can't have people arguing, getting angry, getting violent.
So only ladies that get along go in there?
Well, yeah, they may have issues, but they understand, listen, we've got to work together, you know, because the volunteers are good, but we're together more than these volunteers are coming in.
Yeah.
So they do. But this one girl just kept going against the flow, kept railing on people. And I said, you know, Tammy's going to have to go, girls. I can't put up with this negative attitude. It's quenching the spirit in there. And they go, chap, go easy on Tammy. And I said, well, what do you mean go easy on her? He said, chap, she's got full-blown AIDS. And the Lord said, you tell Tammy about what I did. Now, I always tell people, listen, see these hands here, Rhett? They're just jumper cables. The power belongs to God. It flows through me out to
jumper
them.
Jumper cables.
I'm just a jumper cable for Jesus. I don't heal anybody.
I'm a jumper cable
but
for Jesus.
But God needs a set of cables to get that. Remember, God without man will do nothing. So God wanted to move in Bill's life, but he needed somebody who had the faith of a little child to believe that when you pray, miracles can happen. So I shared that story of what happened to Bill. Now, he got his miracle right away. For Tammy, it took about 4 months. So she had to fight the good fight of faith and just keep believing, speaking to that mountain, that medical mountain of illness. And she said, I'm not leaving this jail till I'm symptom-free. Well, her viral load went from, you know, 90 to 60 to 40. It was down to 10. And the girls are going, whoa, Tammy, you ought to be doing somersaults. She said, I said, I'm not leaving here till there's no virus in my body. When she was released from jail, Rhett, there was no virus in her body.
I just love it.
Four guys heard about it in the men's dorm that this girl got healed of AIDS. They all had hepatitis C. There's no cure for hepatitis C. Just like that, they all got healed.
Now, when you pray for somebody, do you feel something? I mean,
sometimes I do, but sometimes it's just a simple prayer of faith because Jesus said it's not having great faith in God. Remember, in The Chosen, the woman with the issue of blood, it said, the disciples were asking, well, Lord, what happened here? You know, what healed her? He said, well, they said, well, you did, Jesus. No. He said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. So they have to at least be willing to let God move. In other words, if they don't think God can do something, my prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling. when I was at the hospital, like I said, I get made chaplain. I'm 34 years old. I'm going like, what in the world's going on here? Well, this lady had inoperable cancer. She'd worked in our medical lab for 30 years. She gets out. She has cancer of the bladder. It's inoperable.
Yeah.
And her husband says, I want you to pray for my wife.
Yeah.
So I call her, and she's hysterical. She's, oh, my God, I'm dying, I'm dying. And God says, Dave, those prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling because your prayers are not mixed with faith. And I said, I've got to get this lady to get her faith engaged. So I said, Vivian, has God ever showed up in your life before? Has he ever answered a prayer? So she stops crying. She says, well, it's funny you should say that 12 years ago I had a hysterectomy, and when I was in post-op, I started bleeding. And when she noticed she was bleeding, she goes, oh, my God, I'm bleeding. Well, she's getting hysterical. She's bleeding more, and the girl's going, Vivian, calm down. She cries out, God, please, don't let me die. Well, they wheel her back to surgery. She's back in post-op again. She goes, phew. And I go, Viv, that was a close one, you know. And she says, I want to thank the nurse that held my hand because when you did, I calmed right down. I go, hold your hand, girl. We're trying to save your life. Nobody had time to hold your hand. And then the still small voice says, well, you said, God, please don't let me die. And God made a house call, and somehow he held Vivian's hand. God says, now pray. I prayed, Rhett. Yeah. She comes up here, gets another opinion. And when I prayed, I had had a nurse whose mom had a brain tumor, a malignant. And when the doctor went in, there was no brain tumor. And I said, what did the doctor say? He says, he's going back to church because he just saw a miracle. So I thought God's going to dissolve the cancer. And when I prayed, the Lord said, no, pray it dissolves or significantly shrinks back. She comes up here to a pathologist. He goes, wow, this report is way different than what you got at Longwood. This cancer has significantly shrunk back.
Yeah.
So God, the surgeon did the surgery. The cancer was gone. I've never heard a doctor say this then or since. He says, Vivian, we got it all. We even got the roots. Now, here's what they say. Rhett, we think we got it all. That's their little exit thing, just in case it comes back. They said, I didn't tell you we got it all. I said, we said we. He was so affirmed. She lived 17 more years, but see, her faith, that little tiny mustard seed of faith activated. So for Billy and for Tammy, they had that faith got activated. You know, Bill Johnson says, when you hear the testimony of somebody that have what you have, that faith that healed them can jump on you. And that's what happened with that girl.
I love stories of that. When I first came to know the Lord, I was living in the ghetto of Troy, New York.
Wow.
So I don't know how long I was into this, a few weeks, month, whatever. So I'd come to know Jesus. I believed in Jesus. And one morning I kind of woke up and I said, oh, I've got no reason to get up. Hmm. I was depressed.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go back to sleep. A few minutes later, two fingers jabbed me right in the side. I jumped up. I said, okay, I'm getting up. Now, you know, somebody out there may believe it, but it happened to me. Now, that's the only, now I have not seen an angel to the best of my knowledge.
I've seen him, but I didn't know I saw him.
How do you know?
So I go up to Melbourne. My brother's going to get married to this girl. She's like my wife, a real God. He just wants my blessing because he's brother number nine and I'm brother number one and Brian's at fire chief. But so anyways, we go to Melbourne, go to Cracker Barrel. Mary's all that and a bag of chips. Brian, you're on the right path.
Pull that in the
go
bag
for
of
it.
Chips.
So we're leaving, and there's a young girl, look like about 24. She says, I'm hungry, need some help. And I look at her. I look at you, just say you're the girl. She's maybe about where that little rail is out there. Now, there's no shrubs or anything that she can go behind. The cars are coming by at a pretty good clip speed. And I turned to her and I said, can you believe this girl? It's got a sign that she's hungry and she needs help living in a big city. And I turn back, and the girl's gone. And I go, Deb, the girl's gone. She says, well, somebody probably stopped and picked her up. I says, honey, I said, can you believe this? This girl, and I go, and she's gone. And she says, well, maybe she's in a bush. Do you see any bushes here?
What was the point of it, though?
God said, when I was hungry, you fed me. And God said,
but did you give her anything?
She was gone.
She didn't have a chance to give her anything.
And the Lord says, Dave, this was a test, and you didn't pass it. You judged this girl because she was homeless and because she was young, and you weren't going to help her. He said, that wasn't a girl. That was an angel.
Really?
Because, I mean, literally she was gone in a nanosecond. She didn't. There's no place she could have ran. The traffic was coming by. She didn't, I mean, I went like this, can you believe this? And I went like that, and she was gone. My brother actually saw four angels. He was dying of pneumonia, and my dad called me crying. He says, Mike's got double pneumonia. He's not going to make it through the night. And he's crying. Never seen my dad cry before except one other time when my mom was pretty close to death and about when we were all 13. And, again, God did another miracle and saved Mom. But so I started crying. I'm a bat boy on my little league team. Used to fold papers with me. And God says, Dave, you can cry, but you know those tears aren't going to do anything. I said, God, I can't pray. I'm just so grief-stricken thinking about losing my brother Mike. He says, call your friends who aren't sad like you. And I said, well, what can I do? He said, just praise me. Put in a CD and just praise me. So I did. My brother calls me the next day. Now, he's not supposed to make it to midnight.
No.
And he said, Dave, at midnight, four angels came into my ICU room. And now my brother wasn't living for God then. He was he was backsliding big time. And he says, what are you guys here for? He says, we're here to watch over the prayers that have been prayed over you that they come to pass. Psalm 103, verse 20. Angels are ministering spirits that excel in strength and hasten to perform God's word. And I said, you know, God, my brother's coloring way outside the lines. He's backslidden big, and he sees four angels, and I don't.
Yeah, what's going on here?
What's up with that?
Dr. David Thompson, I hope this isn't your last. I love you in the Lord. I just love the way you tell stories. You know, it's something funny. I met you briefly, perfunctorily, maybe a year, 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And now there's always a time. Now all of a sudden, look, my eyes are open to you. I'm like, I really like this guy. I really like you.
Thank you.
And I like our conversations. And you're a man of faith. And
sir.
God bless you. Now, I know his heart is in those prisoners.
It is.
So you're down there. You are the chaplain at the sheriff's office, at the St. Lucie Sheriff's Office.
And I got a wonderful group of guys, Mike and Rabbi, that you talked to earlier, part of my volunteer crew. I've got about 150 really from all over the community that are coming.
Oh, yeah.
Diversity, old, young, black, white, Hispanic.
If somebody wants to text you, we're out of time. Somebody wants to text you, you got an email or something?
They could do Thompson, my last name, Thompson, Dave, D-A-V, no E, at stlucysheriff.com.
Dave, but no E.
No E.
So Thompson, last name.
D-A-V.
Then D-A-V.
At St. Lucie Sheriff. S-T-Lucy, L-U-C-I-E. S-H-E-R-I-F-F.com. Or just call the jail, 772-462-3450.
And
say, I want to talk to Chap.
You want to talk to Chap?
I'd like to help. If you're a volunteer, you got to be in a church, you got to have a covering, and you got to bring something. So we love you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Folks. Trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. It's a new day if you want it to be.
Yes, sirree.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
As I walk this great unknown, questions come and questions go. Was there purpose for the pain? Did I cry these tears in vain? I don't want to live in fear.